This morning, if we could have only been with Jesus years ago, over 2,000 years ago, as he entered Jerusalem. You know, we have celebrities, we have people that maybe win the Super Bowl, and they come back home again, and there's a parade for them. And you know what, there's people cheering them, and there's, you know, we're glad we won, and all that. Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time, and he had a multitude of people welcoming him. But there's something that I want us to look at today. Jesus was focused on a mission that he came to the world for. It didn't just begin when he entered Jerusalem. It began way back there when he was in heaven. And he said, I'll be willing to come down and I'll live like a man. I'll go through troubles. I will be liked. I will be disliked. I'll have the emotions that I desire to be liked, that I hate to be disliked. I'll go through all those emotions so I can understand what man goes through. And I want us to think about something with this. When he had all of the people cheering him on, there was something to remember about Jesus. I want us to look at it for a little while today. Over in John, the 18th chapter, and in the 4th verse, this is in the garden, but it says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. Jesus is different than we are. I don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. Jesus knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knew back then what was going to happen tomorrow. You know, it was real important if you could know what was going to happen tomorrow. I'm thinking about a story over in 2 Kings in the 6th chapter. It says that the king of Syria was warring against the king of Israel. And as they would do, the king of Syria started putting together some military plans. This is how we can do a surprise attack on them. But God did something. God went to Elisha and he told Elisha, hey, here's what the king of Syria is about to do. Tell the king of Israel and he can prevent it from happening. So it happened more than once that they got another military plan together, the king of Syria did. We're going to execute this. And then he finds out, wait a minute, that didn't work. And so he decided, he said, you know what? I think I've got somebody in my camp that's telling them what that is. And one of his servants said, no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is God is telling him what you're thinking in your bedchamber. God knows what you're thinking, the king of Syria. And he's telling Elisha to be able to tell the king of Israel. Well, you remember that story. We're going to have to take care of Elisha to continue fighting Israel. So he comes to, finds out where Elisha is. He comes and surrounds the city that night. You remember the next morning, Elisha's servant walked outside and saw the enemy, king of Syria, all around. And he goes back in and he tells Elisha, he says, what are we going to do? And Elisha tells him, those that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes. And then his servant saw chariots of fire, God's army, there to protect them. So I'm looking at this. God was able to help them to know what was going to happen in the future. He doesn't always do that with us. But I want to tell you, if we had that ability, if every one of us today could know, here's what is in my path for tomorrow, just like them, they wouldn't go that way. As soon as they found out, you know what, the king of Syria is going to be in this certain place waiting for an ambush, we're not going to go that way. That would be the way we would do with everything in our life tomorrow. 10 o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to have an accident. I'm not driving my car tomorrow. 9 o'clock, this is going to happen. I'm not going to be there. I would, but then what happens? Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I would go astray. Because I would take everything that could happen bad to me and I would bypass it. I don't want anything bad happening in my life. So the Lord does not allow me to know what happens tomorrow. But I think there was a verse from one of the children this morning. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And then it says, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. We see little glimpses of Jesus every once in a while and his ability to be able to see and know. And here's another place. He met a man named Nathanael. And as Nathanael came to meet him, Jesus said, this man right here is a man with no guile. He's an Israelite indeed, had never seen him before. And it was so impressive. You know, Nathanael didn't give that credit. Nathanael didn't walk up to Jesus and say, I don't tell you who I am. I'm an Israelite indeed with no guile. No, Jesus said that about him. And then it impressed Nathanael so much that he said, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before they saw you, I saw you over there under a fig tree. And that was so impressive to Nathanael. Nathanael said, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. So I look at these places where little glimpses of Jesus being able to know more than just the present like we do, but being able to know out in the future. In the 6th chapter of John, Jesus starts out being very popular. He had just fed many people. And he had a multitude of people interested in following him. But into the point that it says he realized that they determined to make him king, to force him to be the king. And so he said he left that area. You know why? He never came here to be a literal king. He came here to suffer, to die for us. And he was a man on a mission. He was moving through that. He was not looking for popularity. And in that one chapter, before you finish the 6th chapter of John, he goes from very popular to telling them that to follow him, you're going to go through some things. You're going to eat my flesh. You're going to drink my blood. You're going to have difficulties come to you just like I have come to me. And before that chapter ended, it said many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him, to the point that he asked his disciples, okay, I'm down to 12 now. Are you also going to go away? And I love what Peter told him. Lord, where would we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. We're following you. But I look at those things, feelings and emotions, Jesus had them. He had to have felt the popularity. You know, that makes you feel pretty good when people like you. He also went through the emotions of what it was like to be disliked. There's a verse in Hebrews 4 and 15. It says, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I love that verse because that means there's nothing that I can go through, no trials, no troubles that I can go through in my life that he has not experienced something in the past. If it's rejection, if it's approval. You know, we can swing too far one way or another. Folks' approval of us or their rejection of us. Either way. But he felt rejected. He felt rejection. And yet he continued on. I'm not stopping this mission that I'm on. And it leads us to where we are today with him entering Jerusalem. But there's another place. I want to look at it over in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Says, 53rd verse, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country. You know, a popular person, it's a wonderful thing for them to go home again. You know, the people of a little town would be so happy when somebody that helped win the Super Bowl, he comes back to his little hometown and they're so happy to receive him. And it says, when he came to his country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they're looking at this, that Jesus has come back home again, and the teachings that he has, the miracles that he's performing, These things are really special. You know, you would think, and they all believed on him. But what was their hindrance? 55th verse, is not this the carpenter's son? We know his mama. We know his daddy. There's no way he could be the son of God. It says his brethren, his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? And they were offended in him. They had something that stopped what they were realizing. Just looking at the miracles was enough to be able to do it. There's a verse. Remember when part of this mission that Jesus was on, the 9th chapter of John, he meets up with a man that is blind and he heals him. And naturally, the man goes and he's so happy that he can see again. And till he's questioned by the chief priest and the Pharisees. How did this happen? Who did it? Well, it was a man named Jesus. I don't know who he was. I didn't see him. But they went through to points like they said, give God the praise. This man healed somebody on the Sabbath day, so he cannot be a good man. You know, they had some things in their mind that we will classify who Jesus will be. And he came to a place where he told them, if you don't believe me for what I'm saying, that I am the Son of God, if you just believe me because of the miracles that you're seeing, that no one else is able to do. And you remember they came to a place over in John, the 10th chapter, where they're telling him, John 10 and 24. Then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. In other words, we're looking for a Christ to come. Maybe you're the one, maybe you're not. Tell us plainly. And he says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And it goes on down, 31st verse, after they have looked at all that, it says the Jews took up stones to stone him. And you know, there's people that were looking back then and making decisions in their mind of which way they would go. And there were times when he could leave that kind of a group of people and he could go to a place where they accepted him. You remember whenever he said for Lazarus and Mary and Martha, you don't see it very often, but it said he loved them. I wonder what it was like for him to be able to go to their house, just sit down and relax. They don't have any questions that they're asking to see if they can catch you up in your talk. Just be able to relax there. And he enjoyed that. He had some places that he was able to do it. But in all this, he kept a focus. Whether I'm accepted, whether I'm rejected, whether I have popularity, or whether I'm by myself, I still continue with this mission. And that mission took him to where he traveled into Jerusalem on this morning years ago. Look at another place in Luke 17. Luke 17 and 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, you know, Jesus never talked about himself being something here. When is the kingdom of God going to come? He says the kingdom of God is not going to come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That was his teaching all along. It's not going to be a literal kingdom. I was looking at where Pilate was talking to him in John, the 18th chapter. And I think all these things are very important as we look at, he's entering Jerusalem now. John 18 and 36. Pilate, 35th verse, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priest have delivered thee unto me. And what hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Then would my servants fight that I should be delivered to the Jews, that I not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. I look at this. You remember what happened with the disciples? They had an expectation of where Christ's mission was going to go. Jesus told to Pilate, I'm not seeking for something here. You know, he could have been the king back when they wanted him to be in John, the 6th chapter. He rejected that because he had a different mission that he was on. The disciples had some expectations of where this mission was going to take him, because their desire was, who's going to be the greatest when this thing comes about here on this earth? And he's having to work with that. I believe they had this morning years ago, I believe the disciples were affected by what happened as he rode into Jerusalem many years ago. I'd like to look at that for a little bit this morning in Matthew, because see, they're expecting something, but they're not able to see into tomorrow. Matthew 21 and 1. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done to fulfill a scripture. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, colt, the foal of an ass. And they did this. They put Jesus on him. And look at the 8th verse. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. So how would it be if you could have been there that day as the disciples were and they're watching this? We've had ups, we've had downs, we've seen where the chief priests were against him, but there's a multitude of people saying Hosanna to the Son of David. And we've got this popularity going. This must be going in the direction that we are expecting it to go in. The tide of emotions. I was reading this in the commentary. It was talking about his entry. What was triumphant? What was triumphant about him? Was he now popular? Everyone, the chief priests and everybody had turned and they were all on his side? No. It says the triumphant entry was this. It says the entry into Jerusalem has been termed the triumph of Christ. It was indeed the triumph of humility over pride. Just showing that, you know what, here is, whether you believe it or not, here is the Son of God. But he's not coming in on a white stallion like he's come back from victory over an enemy. He's coming in meek and lowly. It says of poverty over affluence, of meekness and gentleness over rage and malice. You know, Jesus taught us so much in these next days between now and the crucifixion. The times when they would say, don't you have anything to say for yourself? And he answered them nothing. And it says, he's coming now meek. This is him coming into Jerusalem. He's coming now meek, full of kindness and compassion to those that are plotting his destruction. He comes to deliver himself into their hands. Their king comes to be murdered by his subjects, to make his death a ransom price for their souls. You know, for his mission involved, each one of them could have been saved. He didn't say, okay, I'm cutting these out. I'm coming into Jerusalem now, and I'm here just to save certain ones. What does it say? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save anyone that's lost. It doesn't matter. Just like he sends his rain, his son, on the just and the unjust, he has salvation available for all, and I'm thankful for that. He never lost his focus. It says the tide of emotion, it can run however it will. We have it ourselves. We have days when we feel like we are on top of the mountain. We're just feeling so well. Have you ever felt the devil would like to cause our emotions to affect how we feel spiritually? You ever had the flu so bad you feel like you're about to die? You know, if you measured how you feel, you could say, I don't even feel saved, if you're going off of feelings. But you know what? Saved has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with the confidence that the Lord has forgiven me of my sins and I'm pleasing him with my life. And I think of Jesus' mission and how he was willing to follow it right on through. You know, when he walked in, and I want us maybe this afternoon to look at the time from the time he entered Jerusalem until the time he was put in the grave. These days, there's only 5 days between this and that. And how he was unaffected by he's popular or he's not popular. He had a mission that he was following, and I'm very thankful for that, because that mission went all the way down to us today, that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm thankful that it's available for us today. It was available for them back then. He never lost his focus. Today would be a happy time for the Christians. He came into Jerusalem. But you know what was the first thing that he did in one of the Gospels? The first thing that he did as he came into Jerusalem, he stopped. You know, I think he would be so happy. He's just, you know, there's a feeling that comes inside you when everybody is for you and there's a lot of excitement, and it would have been. But he walks into Jerusalem and he looks it over. He's on a mission. You know, this man knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem's tomorrow. And he looked over the city and he started weeping. Emotion. Because he was the only one that could see. If this does not change, if it continues on, all of this will be destroyed. And we get to read about the destruction of Jerusalem years down the road. And things that he would say, if you had only known the peace that I wanted to give you. You know, Jesus has a peace for us today in our lives. And a lot of times I feel like peace means I have no trouble. But Cheryl had a little plaque on her wall. It said, peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of God in our lives. And that's what he saw for Jerusalem back then, was if they had only accepted what he had for them. What did he say? My peace I give you. Not like the world can give you. You know, there's a peace that he can give us in the middle of our storms. Nothing is changing about my condition. It's still just as bad as it was yesterday. But there's a peace that he wants to give me. There is a peace that he wanted to give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They had a peace that they wanted. And you know what their peace was? I want to be delivered from the Roman rule. Jesus could have come as a captain, led an army, and delivered them from Roman rule. What happens a few years later when a captain dies and some other army comes up? There's another battle to go through. So Jesus never came to say, I'm going to take away your troubles. You'll have no trouble. What he came to do was, you can still be ruled by the Romans and have a peace in your heart. Even a place, remember he taught them, he said, whenever they compel you, when they make you do something, when they make you walk a mile carrying something for them, you just from the heart be willing, you know what, I would carry this for them another mile. Now, you know what, your attitude would have to be right when you say that, or you might carry it 3 miles and you didn't really want to, because they would show you. But you know what, if your heart was right to where you say, you know what, they're making me do this, but I'm doing it from my heart. I'll tell you, there is something that really sticks with me, and that was the little girl that was taken a captive for Naaman. And you know, she could have allowed there to be a bitterness in her heart because she was a slave now. You know, I can just imagine she was back at home with her parents, maybe her family, and she was taken as a captive, made a slave. You know, there's a verse that talks to us, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many people be defiled. But somehow she took something that maybe her parents had taught her, something that stayed down inside her heart. And when he brought her home to be a servant to his wife, and she found out that he had leprosy. You know, she could have easily have either said it or thought it, that is good enough for him. He should have never taken me from home anyhow. I hope he dies from it. But that wasn't the case. What happened? She said, I tell you, if you could just get back to my country, And she could have said, and take me with you, because I'll tell you how to get there. Otherwise, you'll never find it. No, she didn't put any strings attached. I never find anything more about her. But what she did was said, I'll tell you what, I've got the key for you. If you will just go back to my home country, you can be healed of your leprosy. I like that. Because living for the Lord does not take us out of our troubles, but it causes us to be able to go through them in a way that we can help be a help to other people. So I look at this and I think of a song. It's number. There's something that all of this needs to spring up in me. Number 264. When I look at what he could have done, he could have gone on to be the king when they were wanting to put him there after he had fed them, and he's on the top of the popularity list. But this one says, I ought to love my Savior. He loved me long ago. He looked on my soul with favor when I was deep in guilt and woe. And though my sin had grieved him, his Father's law had crossed. Love drew him down from heaven to seek and to save the lost. And today is just part of that mission that he made. After he came down with a desire to seek and to save the lost, he came all the way to this point. Today we recognize, and it writes in, it was a triumphal entry. You know, it was triumph to all that multitude that was welcoming him. You know what he could see? 5 days from now, I will be alone. There will be a multitude, all right, but they have been turned. You know how easy people can be turned one way or another? I wonder if it was some of the same people that had welcomed him. I see it in many other places in the scripture. I see it with Paul. Paul would heal somebody, and then they would say, this man must be a god. We're going to offer sacrifices for him. You know, before that chapter's over, maybe even 2 verses later, after they have convinced them, no, we're human like you are. 2 verses later, some Jews have come and stirred up strife, and they stone him. You know, how can people be able to change so much one way or another? You know, Jesus was not affected by the change that people could make. He went through this one when everyone welcomed him to Jerusalem. This is the first day of the week. By the 5th day of the week, he's hanging on the cross. And yet he was willing to go through that mission, and I want to tell him thanks. And then this 5th verse, after I see all these, O Christ, I can but love thee. Yes. What heart could ever withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of thy soul? O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone, and flood this earthen temple with glory from thy throne. What I want to realize is the price that he was willing to pay in his emotions of being able, when he could have felt, you know, if we follow emotions, we are up and down throughout our life. Good news can come and I'm on top of the mountain. 2 minutes later, the phone ring and I got bad news and I'm at the bottom again. But somehow to be able to level out like he did, I've got a mission that I'm on, and I'm thankful that he followed that mission. Maybe we could stand and sing that number 264.